Green Park South Mobile Home Community. We're here serving hot dogs, chips, and drinks, lots of games. We're just giving lots of love with lots of fun today.
We are here at Freedom Farms. They are here to help young adults who may be homeless. We are clearing out land. We are inside cleaning. We're just so excited to be the hands and feet of Jesus.
We are outside of one of my favorite people in the entire world. Her name is Dani. But in 2019, she suffered from a stroke that left her paralyzed. But today, as a small group, they got to come pray for her. They got to pressure wash her house and show her just how much Jesus really loves her. And we got to pray and believe for healing.
Praise, give him praise, give him praise, and the highest praise. Give him praise, give him praise, and the highest. He is worthy, yes, he is worthy of all of the praise. Sometimes you gotta pray.
Today we're giving out 900 backpacks all over the city of Birmingham. We had teams reading to kids. We had teams packing backpacks, giving school supplies to parents so that their students are ready for day one. So I just want to say, Highlands, thank you so much for your generosity. Not only are we making a difference inside the church, we're making a difference outside of the church.
Praise, give them praise, give them praise, and the highest praise. Give them praise, give them praise, and the highest. He is worthy, yes, he.
At the Woodlawn campus doing a community food drive-through, building boxes with canned goods, produce, bread, and we've packed over 500 boxes and blessed over 250 families. It's been a major blessing and a major win, and we're excited to be here.
Praise, give them praise, give them praise, and the highest he is worthy, yes, he is worthy of all of the praise. Oh, I'll praise you.
Come on, give Jesus all the praise, everybody. I said, give Jesus all the praise, everybody. That's awesome. Thank you so much, and thank you for being the most incredible church that I know. I love you. I'm so proud of you guys. We literally had tens of thousands of you who were serving yesterday. We ended up serving over 255,000 individual people. These are people, everybody. A quarter of a million people got touched by the love of God yesterday. You, by your generosity, invested more than $450,000 yesterday to serve these needs. And we served 107,917 meals yesterday. And you ready for this? 556 people got saved yesterday at Serve Day. Come on, give him the highest praise for that. It was just the best. Just absolutely love it. It's one of my favorite days of the year. And go ahead and put it on your calendar now. We will have it the same time next year. And for some of you guys thinking, man, well, I can't wait another year to do that. If you'd like to be a part of our outreach team, we actually have outreach small groups. We have a widows and single moms list that they go to every Saturday, and then every campus hosts a first Saturday serve, so a kind of a mini serve day every Saturday. And so if you'd like to be a part of that, in your worship guide today, we put a little card that just says serve, and this is just an interest form, so this signs you up for nothing. It just says, hey, would somebody call me, explain a little bit more what it means to be a part of that, and if you'll fill it out, drop it in the offering container at the end of the service, you could join us on our serve team, and we would be honored for you to be a part of that. I do want to say a big thank you to Pastor Dina Rizzo, to our small group leaders, to every campus pastor. They work so very, very hard on this, making more than 1,000 projects available. Can you imagine all the tools and supplies and partnerships with the different charities and ministries around the state that we partnered with? And I'm just so grateful to God for my amazing team. And on that note, let me look straight into the camera and say hello to all of our campuses and to our campus pastors. I'm so proud of you. Every campus was so well represented yesterday. And of course, right now we are bringing this message and then all that we are as a church. So not just Sundays, but all throughout the week, our teams are in more than 21 of Alabama's Department of Corrections facilities. And of course, there's people watching online, maybe live or on demand later. Grant Smeal, help me say the biggest hello. Would you do that? Come on, everybody. Yeah, it's awesome. All right, today we are in week number 2 of a 7-part verse-by-verse book study. We do this from time to time. We just take a book of the Bible and literally just read it verse by verse and try to unpack the truths in it. We've chosen the book of Daniel because of something that you requested from me, and that is to help you deal with what we all know is a culture that is, I'm almost shocked at how fast our culture is shifting away from God and into ungodliness in many, many areas. We're seeing it at every level. And because of that, we're seeing the result of what it looks like when people walk away from God. So everything that's bad is on the rise, rising mental health issues, depression, everything, you know, drug addiction, drug use, and so crime. We see it. That's what happens when you walk outside of God's will and God's way. God's not punishing you. You're punishing yourself. I mean, when you get out from underneath the covering and the blessing of following God's way and God's word, come on, somebody, right? That's what happens. If you leave the Father, it'll lead you to a pig pen every single time. But the good news is God is always on the front porch waiting for you to come back, everybody. He's a generous and gracious. And yeah, you want to thank him right there? I sense you do. He's a very merciful God. In fact, in the book of Micah, it says he delights to let you off the hook. He delights to show mercy. He'll give you another chance, but you got to return to him. The question you've asked of me, though, is how do we navigate it? What do we say to our kids who are coming home and like, mommy, my friend is, and whatever, fill in the blank. How do I deal with this? What is the appropriate response of Christians? And I talked about last week, there actually been two different responses that I consider to be extremes, and I dealt with that last week in the message called Full of Grace and Truth. And today I want to continue. Now, last week we started with chapter 6, and the only reason I went that far into the book already was because I believe the main idea of the book of Daniel is found in chapter 6, and it set up survey perfectly. Now we come back to chapter 1, next week chapter 2, and if you want to follow along, your app, which is tailor-made for you, every single person's app experience is different based on where your spiritual journey is. It's a customized app experience, but if you'll go open the app, at the top it says in-service guide. Everything that's getting ready to be on my screen will be on your app. And where I have points, you can actually fill in the blanks, and there's a places for you to take extra notes, and then you can keep those as long as you like and have those in your archives to go back and look at another time. So here we are, Daniel chapter 1, verse 1. In the third year of the reign of King Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Babylon is where today modern-day Iraq is, just to the east of where Israel is. Babylon came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered or allowed Jehoiakim, king of Judah, to be delivered into his hand. And again, because he had just constantly ignored Jesus. I mean, they constantly ignored the Lord. There was warning after warning after warning after warning after warning. In fact, most of the prophets, the prophetic books of the Old Testament were said, hey, look, if you don't come back to God, I'm going to allow you to be taken as slaves into Babylon. And sure enough, he took it along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his little g, the false god in Babylonia, put it in the treasure house of his god. We'll talk more about that in week 4, I believe. And that is, and then the king ordered Ashpenaz. We're going to study this guy today. Ashpenaz, the chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility. In other words, we're going to let most of the Israelites go out there and serve in labor camps, basically, and serve in forced labor. But if they were educated or had money and they were smart, hey, let's bring them inside the palace. Let them serve Nebuchadnezzar himself. Young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was going to teach them, very important for you to notice right off the bat, I've got to indoctrinate them into new language, new books, new thoughts, new language, new literature of the Babylonians. That culture war is taking place right now in our schools. Our parents are fighting. People are trying to figure out what do they need to know? What do we not need to teach? That's happening, right? Same thing's happening. Yeah. And the king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. In other words, he was going to force them to eat and drink things that went against their Hebrew dietary laws, the kosher laws. And they were to be trained for 3 years. And after that, they were entered the king's service. And among those who were chosen were the characters of the book of Daniel. We're going to read about them all throughout this study. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And you probably don't recognize the last three names because we know them mostly by their Babylonian names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which is where we're actually going to begin today. And that is the next verse. So that was verses 1-6. Look at verse 7. So this is the first thing. And I'm going to give you today three marks of a shifting culture. So this is not a new thing. Everybody's like, oh my goodness, what's going on? The same thing that's happened in all the cycles of human history. The devil doesn't have a new playbook. He's doing the exact same thing and he's doing it again. And the first is found in the very next verse, and that is the chief official, this Ashpenaz, gave them new identities. I'm gonna identify as. And we hear that language today. He gave them new names. To Daniel, he gave the name Belteshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. To Mishael, Meshach. And to Azariah, Abednego. And if you're taking notes today, jot this down in your app or on your hard notes. And that is that culture will always try to confuse our identity. The names represent who you are. And it was customary when the enemy wanted to take over your life, it was customary for him to change your name. And in this case, it would be a complete mockery of who God made them. In fact, it was to obliterate the very nature of God on the inside of them. I'm going to show it to you. And it's kind of eerie because this story that happened thousands of years ago is happening today. So to Daniel, his real name, his Hebrew name, means God is my judge. I'm going to live according to the will and the word of God. Watch this. And it would be changed to Belteshazzar, which literally is a female name. He changed his gender. So gender confused, all that's happening today, gender reassignment, that happened in the book of Daniel. Lady, protect the king. A confused, redefined identity. To Hananiah, Yahweh is good, he's gracious. When I think about God, it's all good thoughts. To Shadrach, which means I don't like God, I'm afraid of God. And that's a redefined spirituality. And that's happening today. Deconstruction, confusion in the church. The enemy is trying everything he can to sow confusion among Christians of, oh, the Bible's not true. This is not true. You can't trust this. Yeah. This is an old playbook, everybody. To Mishael, which means who is what God is. I love almost kind of the innocence of that phrase. It's almost playful. Oh, who is? There's nobody like our God. It's kind of playful. To watch this. To Meshach, which means I am despised. Contemptible, humiliated, to an innocent set of emotions, to a depressed, anxious, fearful, humiliated emotion. Always tries to, always gets involved inside of people's emotions. And some of you have felt that. Some of you have been fearful, feel contemptible, humiliated. You can't sleep at night. This is the enemy's plan to bring fear and intimidation into your life. He always does this. To Azariah, which means Yahweh helps me. In other words, Yahweh's on my side. He's involved in the days of my life. Literally what that word means. to Abednego, which means servant of Nebo. Now, that one doesn't make sense to you. You have to do extra study on this one because you have to study the name of Nebo, which really, the name Nebo literally means, you can go look it up, it means one who speaks or prophesies. In other words, we're no longer going to allow God to help you and direct your future. We're going to let the devil's plan for your life take over your life. It's a redefined future. And if you're taking notes today, jot this down. When culture shifts, you got to know who you are. And I'm going to tell you who you are. You're created by Almighty God. You are fashioned by God. God designed you, your gender, your life, every part of you. God designed you and has a plan for your life, everybody. He does. Which is why I love my job. Because you always have to come back to the one who created you to understand yourself. I'll show it to you in scripture. God spoke to Jeremiah and said, before I formed you in the womb, I already know you. Which, by the way, this is why we're pro-life. A person isn't a person once they're outside the womb. A person's a person when they're in the womb, everybody. And God was designed. Yeah, thank God if you believe that's true. It's true. And God was already involved in this person's life while they were being developed in the womb. I knew you when you were in the womb. And before you were born, I set you apart for what? A plan. I have a plan for your life. Listen to me. I don't care what the devil's told you. God designed you. God created you. And God has a plan for your life. And only when you connect with him will you ever be able to discover who you really are. It's what I love about our church, because one of the hallmarks of our church is what we call the growth track. And that's not just a set of classes. You know, you hear it on the news and kind of flies over your head. These classes are specifically designed to do three things. Week number one, which was last week, step one of the Grow Check, allows you to decide if this should be your home church, because there are more than 30 verses in the New Testament alone that you can't fulfill unless you're connected to a family of faith. Like God didn't design you to be an attender. He intended you to be a member. You have to get connected. And if it doesn't have to be here, that's fine. There are great churches all across this city and state. I could recommend some to you. But find one. That was last week. But the next class we do is what we call a discovery day. In fact, that's today. If you'll come to the Grow Track today at 6 o'clock at every one of your campuses, we have this second step, which is a discovery process, because we believe you can't even begin your faith journey without knowing who you are. And so we do a spiritual gifts profile and a personality profile and try to get you back to God's design, because God's design reveals your destiny, everyone. And once you know where you're headed, all the trivial stuff all around you that is destroying your life right now become mere distractions, because you have your eyes fixed on what God's called you to do. And that's why I'd love you to come and be a part of the discovery step in the growth track. You got to know who you are. Let's continue on in the text. Verse 5, I'll read it to you again. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. In other words, he was going to make them break their Hebrew laws. But the Bible says in verse 8, but Daniel resolved not to do that. He had a resolute heart that says, I can't do that. That breaks my values. It breaks my doctrine. It breaks my core. I can't eat the food and drink the wine, he said to the chief official. And he asked him, hey, Ashpenaz, is there any way I don't have to do that? And he fought for what he believed in as his values that come from the word of God. Culture will always, number two, try to get you to compromise your standards. And that's happening today, which, by the way, I personally believe this is going to happen on the rise. And if you don't, they'll cancel you. So they're going to say, no, you can't think that. You can't believe that. You can't. And I don't know where it's going. I really don't. I don't consider myself a prophet, someone who can see what happens in the future. But you better have a made-up mind now, because I tell you, once you get in the middle of it, that situation, it's a whole lot easier to know ahead of time instead of at the time. Which is why I try to bring the word of God to you every Sunday, teach you the Bible. If you ever see a presentation of mine, it has tons of scriptures presented to you, because I'm trying to get the word of God inside of every one of you guys, because otherwise we'll follow our flesh. The devil will always appeal to your flesh and tell you if it feels good, it's good. It's right if it feels good. That's hedonism. I'm following my feelings. God wants me happy. No, he wants you holy. Yeah. And if you get holy, he'll make you the real happy, like the happy that really lasts forever. Yeah. Well, I want to determine my own truth. Well, then you're the God. If you're going to rewrite the Bible to fit the how you want to live, you can't change the Bible to fit your lifestyle. We change our lifestyles to fit the Bible. God calls us to repentance, everybody, that God's way is right. Are y'all with me? Come on, clap if you believe that, everybody. It's true. And that's why when culture shifts, you got to know what you believe. And we make the case that that belief system comes from the Word of God. And it takes kind of like this resolute, it's a made-up mind of what my core is, what my principles and what my values are, and I'm not going to let anything take me from that. If you've ever been on our Highlands College campus, you've seen this. If you haven't, I personally invite you to come tour that beautiful facility, but literally at every turn where your eye falls, you're going to see messaging to our students so that we can send them out into that harvest field equipped. And one of the messagings of our two cafes is the word, we call them the Resolute Cafes. And we're reminding them, man, if you're going to be successful in this culture, this world, you have to have a made-up mind. I like the way the book of Joshua says that. Joshua says, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the ideas of the world, the little g gods. And he talks about the ones of his ancestors. And if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, that's fine. But choose for yourself whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living. You can follow the world if you want to. But as for me and my household, I'm serving the Lord. And I love the resolute, come on somebody, the resolute side of that. You gotta know. Let's continue on, verse 9. We're literally just going straight down the first chapter of the book of Daniel. Now God had caused Ashpenaz to like all of that. Like Ashpenaz liked Daniel. And he showed favor and sympathy to Daniel. But Ashpenaz was also nervous at the same time. He says, I am afraid of my Lord Nebuchadnezzar, the king, who is a sign, he told me that you guys have to eat and drink that stuff. And I'm afraid that if he sees you looking worse than all the others who are eating and drinking it, that he's gonna cut my head off. And Daniel then said to Ashpenaz, he said this, he said, test us. Test us and see. In other words, you go your way, let us go our way, and watch which one's better. I love the courage of this statement. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink, and then compare our appearance with that of the young men who are eating the royal food and treat your servants with accordance with what you see. And so Ashpenaz says, deal, you got 10 days to make that work. And he tested him for 10 days. Now, you're going to see in the book of Daniel, I'm going to show you many times, poor Daniel didn't know what he was asking for. Because he wouldn't just be tested with this food and wine. The rest of the book, he would face tests. After test, after test, after test. I mean, from lion's dens to fiery furnaces. Like, not just food tests. I'm talking like, I'm burning you to death tests. And I hate to bring you this point, but I would not prepare you well as a pastor if I didn't tell you that culture will always test our faith. You got a testing coming. Now, I've had tests of my faith. I was once sharing my faith as a student at LSU, and I was reading my Bible, and I had this police officer, part of the LSU Police Department, who would visit the office I was working out of at the law school at LSU, and he would visit because my boss was his best friend. And while I was reading my Bible, he said, I can prove to you you don't believe that Bible. I'm like, oh yeah, I believe it. No, you don't believe it all. Yeah, I believe it. No, you don't believe it. Ah, yeah, I believe it. And I thought he was going to show me a gotcha verse. Like, he knew a verse. They're like, aha. And so I had my Bible open. He walks over, and I thought he's going to, like, flip to a page. And he hauled off and slapped the fire out of my face. Now, I'm not talking like, I'm talking about arm was back here when he did it. Like, my head turned. Like, my face is throbbing. And I said, Muhammad, his name was Muhammad. Muhammad, why did you do that? He said, if you believe your Bible, turn the other cheek. I'm like, are you serious? You go around slapping Christians? This is what you do? Like, this is the test. Like, I was like, really? Are you serious? That's what you're going to try to prove? He said, yeah, you don't believe it. And I said, man, hit me then. If that's, hit me. And he slapped me much lighter the second time. I'll never forget, took his cap off and said, well, you're a real Christian. I'm like, brother, don't do this to people, all right? He's like, okay, long story short, I ended up 4 months later leading him to the Lord. Okay, now, I want to stop. Wait, I'm going to stop. My tests, your tests, they're real. But they ain't nothing like the ones before us. Every time I find myself belly aching about somebody else coming against me or somebody else, you know, I tend to tuck my tail like poor, poor, pitiful me. I reminded myself all the time, the tests of our forefathers were floggings and imprisonments. Yeah. In fact, yesterday we were out at Serve Day and I went to a bunch of places and it was just an amazing experience. I was sobbing literally from the first stop. And we had gone down to Alabaster to see this family of this 26-year-old Hispanic girl who had a brain aneurysm and it completely crippled her head to toe. And her Serve Day request was that PC come see her. And I thought, well, absolutely, I will. And so we went down there. And when we got there, her mom standing at the end of the driveway, tears coming down her face, her husband. And they were out there ready to welcome me. And I just felt so humbled by the whole thing, honestly. And I walked up and just hugged, and we enjoyed one another. We went inside, and there she is sitting in that wheelchair. You saw her on the Serve Day video. And we prayed over her. Tammy laid hands on her, and we just had the best time. Her little daughter had a birthday, and we were able to celebrate that and bring her some gifts. And then her mama spoke up. We were in a circle praying. Mama just spoke up. Now, mama loves their babies. You know what I'm talking about? Mama spoke up and said, we can't transport her around because that wheelchair is all we could afford, and her tailbone, she's crying, her tailbone hurts all the time. She goes, we need a better one. And I wasn't even thinking, y'all. I'm so sorry. I wasn't even thinking. I just heard this. This came out of my mouth. I didn't call our financial office. I didn't check with our trustees. I just said, pick one out. We'll pay for it. Yeah. And you're going to pay for it, all right? So that's, I just. And we walked out. I was with Pastor Dino and DeLynn and Tammy, and we walked out. And I said, just when you think you had a bad week. Don't ever forget, everybody. There are people being tested. There are people right now who are hiding in churches all across the world because if they're found out, they die because they went to church. Can we thank God for our freedoms right here in America, everybody? Thank the Lord. But even here in America, listen to me, you're going to be tested. And I'm going to do everything I can to prepare you, but I'll tell you what you have to do. Let me give you one nugget, and that is when culture shifts, we have to learn how to stand. Because what happens is whenever people come against you, it makes you want to fall. It makes you want to give up. And I'm going to help you stand. Stand. So here's what I did. When I had this thought, I thought, I'm going to go every place in the New Testament where the Bible talks about standing. And I'm going to let those be the points. So I didn't make these up. These come straight from Scripture. How do we stand? Let me give you a verse first. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. I pray in the spirit of courage comes on you today in church. Be strong. And by the way, when that happens, don't be a jerk about it. Listen to me, when you stand for something, you don't have to, the whole world doesn't have to hate you because of it. And I personally believe sometimes it can be done in a way where nobody likes you. Well, then you lose. You may have won, but you still lose because you lost influence into that. And I'm not against standing for things that actually matter or maybe even protests at times. I think they're appropriate on occasion. But honestly, we still have to do everything in love. This is the command of Scripture. For us to do it this way. And so let me show you what the Bible says of how a Christian is supposed to stand. Are you ready for it? And the first is, we stand in prayer. Now it's interesting that the Bible says, when you take your stand against culture's schemes, the first reaction is that I'm gonna send an email. I'm gonna call somebody. I'm going down there. I'm not against it at times. Listen to me, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying, did you pray about it first? Because the truth be known, there's a spirit behind that thing that you're trying to fight. And you can go fight the thing without fighting the spirit, and you're still not going to be successful. I'll show it to you. Put on the full armor of God so that you can be a person who stands against the devil's schemes, for your struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against people, but it's against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of the dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to, say it out loud, say you're able to
stand.
That's how you're, why? Because I prayed. And I'm gonna tell you, courage for culture comes in prayer. I mean, just go in your prayer place. God, I pray. I bind the spirit of the enemy that's trying to discourage me, put fear and intimidation in my heart. I stand my ground. And then after you've done everything to stand, keep on standing, everybody. Which is why our response as a church is first. I'm not saying it's the only thing. I'm just saying it's first. And that is we pray. And that's why next month I am calling our whole church to 21 days of prayer. And we're going to seek God every day, and we're going to pray for our country. I'm praying for revival in America, everybody. I'm praying in the darkness, the light shines. Come on, a lot of people get saved. I'm believing for it. Anybody else believing for that? With me? Yeah. And that's why we're even going to have revival nights, four nights in a row, the Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, four revival nights in a row during the 21 days of prayer. C.C. Winans is going to come lead worship. Pastor Jensen Franklin's going to come preach. We've got others coming. It's going to be a powerful time together. Make plans to be there. Here's the second place, and this is just me researching scripture, finding the word stand, and that is the Bible talks about if you want to be a person who doesn't fall in culture, you need to stand in the work or the assignment, the work of the Lord, the assignment God's given you. The place of courage comes from your personal assignment in the kingdom of God. Look in my eyes, everybody. All of you have a part in this grand design of God's. And when you find your place, I'm telling you, that's where real life and energy comes back. And every time you get discouraged or fearful, this is what I am having to learn how to do. When I have days where I want to quit, and I have them, I'm like, y'all, I ain't got to put up with all that. I'm gone. Somebody else can do this. And I remind myself, yeah, that's okay, but you didn't get to call you. God did. And until your assignment's over, get back to work, Chris, and stop your fussing. And it comes from this verse right here. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, there's our word, stand firm, let nothing keep you from standing. Nothing move you. How? Always give yourself fully to the assignment God gave you, the work of the Lord, because you know that your work, your labor is not in vain. We stand. We stand. Last place I found, and that is that when you stand, we stand for God. Let me explain that. I think sometimes we treat God one way. God, here's what I need you to do for me today. I need you to do this for me. I need you to do this for me. And we know God is for us. But have you ever had the thought that we ought to be for him too? Like, have you ever thought that he needs us to stand and defend his honor and his name? And how much he would love it if he had some of his kids out there going, hey, don't talk about my daddy that way. That's my daddy. Don't you like it when you're defended? When somebody loves you, says, no. And God says, I wish you were for me. I wish you'd stand for me. I was playing golf not too long ago, and one of my friends brought a friend who didn't know I was a pastor. And I love not telling people for a number of holes. It's bad, I know. I shouldn't do it. Because then they act differently when they know. And so when I finally tell them, you can see them, we're going through the tapes. Oh my God, what did I say? What did I do? All right. It's so fun. It's bad, but I do that. Well, this one guy was, everything was GD. Everything. Every missed putt, every bad shot. GD. Just like it was just every sentence. And I just got to a place where like, okay. And I wasn't ugly. It's not in my nature, honestly, to be confrontational. And I said, well, listen to me. If you're going to keep saying that, at least get it right. Because God doesn't damn, the devil does. So use his name, please. Now, Now, you can say that all day. Well, he didn't say nothing all day. He was done with all. It was over. But I just felt there was something rose up inside me to defend the honor of my God, everybody. My God's not he doesn't damn anything. He's a blesser. Every good and perfect gift comes from my. You are misrepresenting my heavenly Father, and I just don't think, if you're going to say it, you use the right name. Jesus said it this way, if you'll acknowledge me before others, I'll acknowledge you. It goes on to say, but if you disown me, don't want to let people know you're a Christian, afraid to pray in a restaurant, I'm not ashamed to be a Christian. I mean, I'm not an obnoxious one, but I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God for salvation. I'm grateful to be a believer. Can I hear a good amen, everybody? The message, which isn't a translation, it's a paraphrase, actually uses the word, stand up for me against worldly opinions, and I'll stand up for you before my Father in heaven. It reminded me, I got up early this morning, was re-looking over my notes, and I just kind of put the final touches on it, 5 o'clock in the morning probably it was, and the Lord brought this story to mind. It wasn't in my original notes, and I was reminded of Billy Graham Crusades. They had this song that they sang a lot, that I have decided to follow Jesus. Y'all have heard that before, that hymn. And I don't know if you know the story behind it, but it was written, it was inspired by a true story of a guy named Assam from Northeast India, who converted to Christianity, and he was brought before his village, and the chief was there in the village, and they were getting ready to execute him. And they said, you have one last chance to deny Jesus or we're gonna kill you. And he says, I have decided to follow Jesus. He was resolute. And so at that moment, they killed his wife right in front of him. And they said, what about now? And they said, though none go with me, still I will follow. And they said, this is your last chance. We're going to kill you. He goes, the cross before me, the world behind me. And they killed him. And the chief was so inspired by his courage and his faith, the chief got saved. And so did the people in the village. The courage that's needed to take a stand for God. Listen to me. You can stand for the honor of God. I don't know where this is going. I don't think it's going to be to that level. I don't know. But I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to take my stand. Come on, everybody. Stay focused on my assignment, everybody. Keep praying and binding the spirit that's behind it all. In Jesus' name. And let me give you a little fun ending. Jesus right now, if you want to know what he's doing, he's sitting. He's not standing. He's seated. There's all across the New Testament, every time. Now, this is after he went back into heaven, after the resurrection. Every verse talks about Jesus is seated. Jesus is seated. In fact, Hebrews says he's seated at the right hand of God, delivering your prayers to the Father. He makes intercession. So when you pray, Jesus says, oh, God, Chris just prayed. I want to tell you about it. He's delivering your prayers. Okay. But there's one place where the Bible says he's standing. I'm going to show it to you. Because in Acts chapter 7, when the first Christian martyr, Stephen, stood boldly for his faith, you can read his whole testimony in Acts chapter 7, but they just decided, even though you think Jesus is God, we're still going to kill you. And they tied him to a pole, and they stoned him to death. And right before he died, here's what the Bible says at the end of Acts chapter 7. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and he saw the glory of God. God allowed him in that earth experience to see what was going on in heaven. And he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, look, this is his last words on earth. Look, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing. In other words, Jesus was sitting there making intercession, but then one of his servants took a stand, and Jesus went. And I want you to hear something. I say this to encourage you today, that when you stand, Jesus will stand with you. when you stand, he doesn't leave you alone. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. When I take a stand, Jesus gets up and he stands with us. And all of God's people said, come on, give God praise. Just bow for prayer. You can be still and quiet just for a minute, please. Just want a couple minutes to pray for you. And Father, I'm praying for every person here. I'm asking for courage. I'm asking for strength. I'm asking for your grace. God, it's tough sometimes. You don't know what to do, Lord. But God, today we know you're with us. And we stand. We stand for you in prayer, for our assignment. And God, I thank you, you're standing with us today. Let us leave here with confidence and with hope in the truth of your word. I believe there are those here today who might need to make a decision. Maybe your prayer today needs to be, you know what? I've decided I'm following Jesus. I'm talking to those who are far from God, never been a Christian. Maybe you are a Christian, but you know you're not serving the God with all your heart. You haven't made a commitment, or you need to make a recommitment to him. But that needs to be your prayer today. I'm following Jesus. I have decided, and I'm making that decision today. I want to pray with you before we close the service. We're not going to have you stand. We're not going to call you to the front, but I'm going to invite our campus pastors to the stage right now. And just keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. And if that's you, if God's dealing with you, that you're saying, you know what? Today's my day. I need to make a decision to follow Jesus. Would you be so bold and say, that's me, and lift your hand as high as you can right now. So count me in that prayer all over this room. Yep. Anybody else? Yep. 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 Anybody else? Just keep it high. Lift it high. I've decided I'm following Jesus. Pastor Blake, come lead them in a prayer, please, sir.
That's amazing. So proud of you, all of you that just lifted your hand. Maybe you're in this moment, you didn't raise your hand, but in your heart, you know you're making the best decision of your life. This is your time. Right there where you are, I'm going to give you a simple prayer to pray. You can whisper it. You can say it in your heart. You say it out loud. Just say, Jesus, today I decide I'm going to follow you for the rest of my life. I give you my life. I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. I ask you to cleanse me right now and make me brand new. Forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of my past. Anything that doesn't line up with you and your word. Today, I'm going all in. Jesus, I believe that you lived a perfect life and that you died on the cross for me. You were buried, but 3 days later, you rose again. And right now in this moment, I surrender all to you. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me unconditionally. Today, in this moment, I decide to stand. I stand for you. And from this moment forward, I'll never look back. Come on, finish your prayer. Just say, Jesus, thank you for changing my life and saving me just now. I'll never be the same. In your name I pray. Amen. Why don't you help me celebrate? There were countless hands all over the room. Come on, welcome them into the family of God today. I think we can do a little bit better. Eternal decisions were made. Great job.